18. There's quite a few verses there, so I'm not going to try to read all of those verses together, but we will be using those as our guide so you can follow along as we're talking. My dad had a 55 Chevrolet pickup truck, an Apache. Many of you may remember something like that. It had a little small window in the back instead of the great big one. But the thing that I remember most about that truck, besides loving it, was having to drive it. Now, when I got a hold of it, the gears wore out. And I finally learned how to get it in gear from first to second to third. And it had the column shift. Now, most people may remember the columns. Dad taught me how to get it in gear. He showed me once how to get it untangled when I tangled it up going from first to second, and how to pull it over, pop the hood up, and jiggle it around until I got it out of gear. Then I'd get back in the truck, and I finally learned that in that truck, when you put it to first and you got ready to shift into second, it wasn't an up and over like we thought. You had to kind of do an up, a little dip, and then get it into gear up there. And if you didn't, you hung it up. And you couldn't get it to move. You'd have to pull it over and start all over together. So as we think about this morning, get it in gear, we need to think about it. Elijah looked and he says, how long will you be between two opinions? In other words, folks, we need to get it in gear, he says. You must choose, you know. Choose. Joshua said the same thing. You must choose today. And that's what they were doing. They were trying to worship more gods than one. They were trying to please everybody and trying to worship. And as we think about that, they became in the middle, so to speak, in between, in neutral, so to speak. But we found out that if you're in neutral, there is no power. Isaiah says, a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. And Joshua continues to say, this is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you are going to fight. A commentary wrote this, a church in a park or neutral is as useless and powerless as a car without an engine. I thought about that. How many of us today would try to drive a car without an engine in it? We depend on that engine to get us from place to place, don't we? And we need the church to be able to do what? To be the same thing. It does not need to be in neutral. It needs to be in gear. It needs to be doing what God has called us to do. And that was to serve Him, number one. To follow His directions, number two, and do as He has commanded us to do. That is simple enough. Yet, you cannot be for something without being against something. As I thought about that, how true it is. We do have to be for something, and if we're for something, we're going to be what? Against something else. So as we think about that today, where are we? Satan accomplishes his greatest work when the church falls into a deep sleep. When we be content, when we're satisfied with what our church is doing, Satan is doing his best work. For many of you, you've seen that little pyramid that I've talked about, the little arch where we set our goals, we reached our goals, we became satisfied, complacent with what we've done, and we have now begun to slide down on the backside of that hill. And in that, the state is nostalgia. We think about those times when things were great. We think about that time when our church had plenty of kids running up and down the hallways. The sanctuary was packed full of people, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And then all of a sudden, we find it's not that way anymore. And we think about the good times, the things we used to do when we were younger that we're not doing now. That's nostalgia. The next stage is the questioning stage. What are we going to do? How are we going to do that? Do we really need this church? Am I really supposed to be at this church? And we began to question even God's work in this church. And then finally, the last stage in that hill is death. We've seen way too many churches in this last century that have closed their doors, that have come to that death part and have sold the church building and disbanded the church and no longer. As we think about that, that is what we're looking at. Where are we at on that graft? And as we think about that, we see exactly that we need to be resetting goals. We need to be resetting and never be satisfied with what is going on. As the younger people say, we need to take it to the next level. And when we get to that level, we need to take it to the next level. We cannot sit back, put our feet up, eat, drink, and be merry and say, look at what we have done. We cannot do that, because when we do that, we find out what happens. BlackBerry did that. They came out and they became the forerunners of all the electronics and the technology and stuff that was going on. They said, look at how far advanced we are ahead of all the others. They began to slack off. They began to enjoy life. And then all of a sudden, they found out everybody went right on by them. BlackBerry is struggling right now to stay afloat. They're so far behind technology and all of the other companies that they're having trouble to existing, much less catch up. Doesn't that sound just like the church? We are struggling to what? Keep our heads above water, to keep our doors open. There was a time that we didn't have to worry about budgets. We didn't have to worry about people coming to Sunday school. And you know, there was a time, thinking back, where Sunday school had more people than actually church had. That was the tool that brought people in. Things are changing, aren't they? And we cannot be satisfied. So the next 4 minutes, I want us to see some four things that Elijah saw when he did his task. First of all, he had a revelation. He knew what was going on. God had spoke to him. It means that you have something other than people don't see. You know something that others don't. David was a good example of that. David saw Goliath laying flat on the ground with his head cut off and a sword in his hand. He knew that he could do that because God had told him to do that. You see, Elijah took it one step up to the mountain. He envisioned Israel back under God's leadership. He envisioned all of the bells of worship that they were worshiping. He could see all of those bells being torn down, the altar being torn down. He could see the prophets being slain by the sword. He could see Israel worshiping the one true God. He could see that. David had that same. And remember, 1 Samuel, he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Think about that. A little shepherd boy facing a professional trained warrior that was three times, maybe four times bigger than he was, and looked at him and said, this day the Lord has put you in my hands. You are mine. And Goliath just laughed at him. Yeah, right. I could beat you with my finger if I wanted to. But who won the battle? It wasn't Satan. It wasn't Goliath. It was God and David. Somebody here today needs to see a revelation. We need to see that. We need to follow the will and plan of God for our lives. And you will see for yourself God sees in you. What is it that God sees in us? Is this church doomed? Is it done for? Are we all retired from Christianity? Have we quit serving God? Or is this church going to begin to blossom and begin to fill back up again and reach out to people that need to know Jesus Christ? It's a shame that God has given us an answer. God has provided for all our needs, and we just hoard it to ourselves, and we are not sharing it to the rest of the world. I'm not talking about just hungry people physically, but mentally, spiritually. People are searching for hope, and where are they finding it? Alcohol, drugs, politics, everything else except where they should be finding it. And who should be sharing it with them except us? Elijah had an expectation. He expected the fire to fall. He expected God to do something. How many of us expecting for God to do something right here in this service this morning? How many of us expecting God to touch our hearts and move us and challenge us and send us out? What is our expectation for this church? What is our expectation for Sunday school, for teachers, for pupils? What is our expectation for those that sing and play? What is that expectations of the people in this church? Do we have an expectation, or do we just exist and carry on? We need to have that passion. We need to ask God to show us our purpose and our destiny. What is it, God, that you have for me? What is it, God, that I can do? A lot of people say, well, I can't do anything except come to church on Sundays. Well, that's fine, but if you come to church on Sundays, then you should be able to, one, pray, number two, encourage others, three, get involved with the music and sing and let God speak to you through this service and encourage those that are leading it. You want passion? You have to work for passion. You have to see yourself healed this morning. You have to see yourself prepared by God and say, God, I give you my all, and I'm asking you to reveal to me your will for my life. See yourself as that anointed one to preach God's gospel, to share it with your neighbors or somebody else. See your children saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. See yourself walking in wisdom, in joy, and peace, and divine favor of God. That's what it's all about. Secondly, Elijah had expectations. He expected that fire, as I said, to fall. He knew that if that fire did not fall, what would happen? He would die. He would die because they were killed. They have already killed all the prophets. He was the only one true prophet left for God. And if that fire had not come down from heaven, he was doomed. He expected. You see, expectations as breeding grounds for manifestation. You have to believe to see. Jesus told Mary and Martha, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? When's the last time that you and I have seen the glory of God? When's the last time that we have seen God and praised God for what he has done? Thirdly, Elijah had a desperation. There's a song out today on the radio that says, I'm desperate for you. Lord, I'm desperate for you. Are we desperate today? Are we desperate people for God today? Do we need God so bad that we're desperate we'll do anything for God? When's the last time your family disowned you because you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? When's the last time that you went out and you were so desperate for God that you didn't care what anybody else thought, you were going to praise God about it? His life depended on God answering by fire. We need to come to God with this same sense today that we are desperate for God. I need God so bad that I will do whatever it takes. I will follow him. I will do anything that he tells me. That is how desperate I am. When you're sick and there doesn't seem to be an answer, you're desperate to try anything, aren't you? You'll try anything. Home remedy, doctors, medications, anything that is done. You will do anything. If somebody, a doctor told you to stand on your head for a half hour every day and it would help your brain to function better and you were desperate enough, you would do it, wouldn't you? But if God told you to stand on your head, you would think it was silly. We question what God tells us. It was desperation that brought the woman with the issue of blood to Jesus, you know? That was something that was not, it was taboo. You didn't walk around in that state. And she thought, if I could just touch his hem of his garment, if I could just touch, not him, but just his garment, I know I will be healed. And she was what? Willing to go out into the crowd and make her way up till she could just touch the hem of his garment. She was desperate. She was ready to try anything. It was desperation that brought the leper to Jesus. Leprosy was one of those no-no things again. You did not go in public if you had leprosy. And if you did, you told everybody by shouting, leprosy, unclean, and people would know to what? Stay away from you. But the leper knew, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just get to Jesus, It was desperation of the four friends that opened the roof up and lowered the man down because they knew that Jesus could do it. And the only way they could get to Jesus was what? Open up the roof and let the man down. Desperation. When's the last time we were desperate for Jesus? When you get desperate, you don't care what people think. I have got to get to Jesus, it should be the thing. And I don't care what it takes to get to Jesus. I will do it. I am desperate. I am desperate for you, Lord. And then the last thing this morning we see is Elijah had a resignation. That means that Elijah had already predetermined in his heart and his mind that he was going through with this challenge. We have a lot of people today that want to serve God if, and you get that word, isn't it a shame two letters, I-F, are so big and so powerful? I will serve God if it meets my standards. If I have time for God. If this, that, or the other. And so we need to see that we need not to serve God because it's convenience for us, but we should serve God because it is His will for us to do it. It shouldn't be convenient for us. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to come down and leave heaven and come to this earth, to sit on this earth, to be raised by parents, who, by the way, were sinners, and He wasn't, to grow up on this earth, to have to teach the disciples like He did, and to die on the cross like He did. It wasn't convenient for Him. I'm sure He could have thought of many other things He could have done. But He did it to fulfill Scriptures. God is looking for some people to have grit today. We need to get excited. We need to not be so reserved. We need to be outgoing about the name of Jesus Christ. God says it's time to get out of neutral and get into gear, folks. That's what it's time to do. Neutral is not any good anymore. You've been teeter-totting, you've been hot, then cold, you've been on, and then you've been off, you've been in, and you've been out, you've been up, and then down. And God says now it is time to come in and to shut the door. It is time to put it in gear. It is time to serve me now. Now is the time. We don't need to idle anymore. Today is the day that I am climbing that mountain. And I'm tearing down every other altar that is around me. Whether it is my family, whether it is my work, whether it is my community, I'm tearing all of that away. And God, You are first in my life from this point on. I'm climbing on. And I want the fire of God to consume me. I don't want any more neutral. I want to be consumed. I want to be desperate for You, Lord. You notice they put the fire down. And as he prayed, the fire not only came down and took Elijah's altar, but it took the water that was around it, all that was poured on it, and it also took whose? The other gods. They couldn't come down and light the fire. God told Elijah, pour water on it, put some more on it, put some more on it. When's the last time you put a lot of water on wood and then lit it? And it lit. When God spoke, what happened? It burnt. And it said, the scripture said, not only did it do all of that, but it sucked all the water up that had run down into the trenches. They laid the sacrifice. Paul puts it this way, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer our bodies, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Elijah rebuilt the altar to do what he was called to do. Maybe this morning we need to rebuild our altars. Maybe it's time this morning that we dig that trench, and as we dig that trench, we dig deeper into God's Word, deeper into His Word to study it, to move on. A lot of people want to spend just enough time around the altar to feel good about themselves, but they're not ready to make any changes. You know what the problem with the Jews were when Jesus came? Jesus called for change. That's what he called for. Jesus was called radical because he wasn't doing the same thing the Pharisees were doing. Jesus wasn't looking at the laws as a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules. Jesus came to fulfill those laws and to for us to do what? To become part of him. And that was change for them, and they were not ready for it. Folks, this world is changing. We're changing. And if you want to be really honest at yourself, go home today, look in the mirror, begin to talk to God, and see how much change is in your life. As a Christian, think back for a moment when you accepted Jesus Christ. Are you the same person now that you were then? If you are, you're in neutral. If you haven't, and if you're growing, you put it in gear, your life has changed, hasn't it? My life is changing every day. I am learning new stuff every day. Hosea says, sow righteousness for yourself, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until the day he comes and showers his righteousness on you. I believe today God is talking to someone. And to that person, it's being said, I want that passion and power in my life, and I'm ready to climb the mountain today. I'm ready to get out of neutral, and I'm ready for God to consume me. Is that your feeling today? Is that what God is talking to us today? Are we looking and seeing that as he consumed Israel and loved Israel and did everything for him, that same God will do the same thing for us today in our own personal lives, in our church? Are we ready today? Or do we want that passion? Do we really want it? Or are we ready to climb and to break off all the barriers? Are we ready to put Satan behind us? Are we ready to get out of neutral and put it in gear? Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the scriptures, and as Elijah trusted in you, even to the point that if it didn't work, Father, it meant death for him. That he was so desperate and had such an expectation. And Father, he had a vision. May each one of us have a vision for our lives, for our church, for this community. And Father, touch our hearts now. Move us. Speak to us, Father, that we may hear your word, that we may move out of here this morning with that passion that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.